When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Jason Mackey's First 10, the quick hit podcast that gets you ready for the day. I am, of course, Jason Mackey. Thank you for checking us out. A lot to talk about on today's episode. Busy as ever. We're going to get into some Penguin stuff and a column written by one of my colleagues, Dr. Joe Starkey, that I thought was really good and worth talking about on here. Second topic will be, well, another thing from a colleague and something interesting that I picked out of Jerry Dulac's chat, talking a little bit of draft stuff. We're getting closer and closer to that day. And we're going to conclude by discussing the Pirates and a rotten sweep in New York, some stuff to take away, spin it back home. Boston coming to town for the weekend, and the Pirates are going to have at least one hole to fill, maybe two. We will talk about those. But first, I want to remind you of us being sponsored by the North Shore Tavern. If you love baseball, you'll love the North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park. It's Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. Interior is wall-to-wall Pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, and of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Check it out. We're actually going to be there. We're going to be across the way at Mike's Beer Bar. This is starting to come out publicly, but April 25th and 26th, the first two nights of the NFL draft, we're going to be over there doing a live stream. It's going to be me, Chris Carter, Adam Bittner, and Brian Batko is going to check in a little bit from Steelers headquarters. Really excited for this thing. I think it's a great concept. These live streams have been extremely popular. There's no better place to hang out in the city, frankly, than Mike's Beer Bar and doing this. Logistically, it's going to be fun for me. I'm going to be over there for a little bit talking to those guys and then drive over to the facility, and I'm writing live off of that one. But so much to get into. We'll get into more draft stuff and just, you know, it never ceases to amaze me either, how popular some of the draft stuff is, you know, mock drafts, hypothetical drafts. Brian did something that was really cool. I thought if everything broke the Steelers' way, what that would look like. Just so much theorizing, but it's a really big thing. We'll get into that a little bit after the Jarry discussion. So, okay, Joe Starkey wrote this column comparing Tristan Jarry to Kenny Pickett. I thought it was really good. I thought it was really sharp by Joe. I love the way Joe's brain works. I've told him that. But you know, and the crux of Joe's argument was basically that if we have to sit here and debate and ask questions whether you're the guy, you're not the guy. Probably going to look elsewhere. I think he used an analogy of Ben Roethlisberger, like could limp in there and he didn't need to practice, didn't need to do anything. All he needed to do was at 1 o'clock on Sunday say, "I'm good to go." I'm like, "All right, you're starting." And that's not where they're at with Jarry. I mean, it's the furthest thing from that. Season finale. I'm recording this during the Islanders game, and Nedeljkovic is playing again. I'm not saying anything good, bad, or indifferent, but there's clearly not a lot of faith in Tristan Jarry, based on everything we've heard from the Fenway Sports Group and Kyle Dubas and how they feel about Mike Sullivan. We shouldn't expect Mike Sullivan to be going anywhere. So, is this marriage going to continue? I just find that very odd. And I also look at the Penguins situation and not just goaltender, you know, the lines, what they need to, you know, get more depth scoring, tweak some things, you know, even defensive stuff, how they fit it all under the salary cap. They need to do something. They need to, you know, take some players away, bring some players in, change a mix of chemistry, whatever. I mean, you are a team that for a long time, your goal has been to get in the playoffs and do some damage. For 2 years, you have not even gotten there. Forget doing damage. And I just, you're limited with keeping the core together. You're limited with contracts and what you can do elsewhere. Like, I don't think it's a good hockey move to get rid of Brian Rust. I would challenge anybody to do that. Michael Bunting, no. I mean, you're making your team worse by removing that player. Erik Karlsson, maybe. That's not a great contract, though. You know, bang for the buck is a term that gets thrown around a lot with that stuff. And I just, you know, what's the taker? Is there going to be a taker? What's the deal going to look like? How much money are you going to have to take back? I just, you know, Ned isn't the only answer in goal to me, but he proved himself as an answer. And if Joel Blomqvist can go, I'm sold with that combination. I might bring in a little bit more of a veteran number three or somebody, you know, somebody you can stash in Wilkes. I don't even know if that player exists, but once again, you should be able to free up a couple million dollars there and ride Ned a little bit more and give the young guy a chance. I just, you know, when's Blomqvist going to play? And it just, when you're looking at their situation, it certainly does not look like one where they have an unquestioned number one in goal. I think that's a fairly obvious statement. And then are you going to play the second half of pay the second half of that platoon 5.3 and change? Very, very odd. So we'll see what they do. Going to move on to football for the second topic. Jerry, he teased this in a tweet, and I don't think he fully answered it with a name. I also wouldn't throw that out there because Jerry's going to write his own thing and who he thinks the Steelers should pick, and I respect that. But I'm going to jump in a little bit because one thing that I thought he kind of pushed people towards, you know, and I love Jerry and have looked up to Jerry for a long time, and when he says something, I listen, but center was a position that was really, you know, seemed popular, or maybe I read something wrong, but anyway, you're going to get a lecture on who I like at the top of the center position anyway and what I would do if they had that option available to them. I look at this, Jackson Powers Johnson is my number one. You know, not that I've broken down a ton of his game film, but I've read a decent amount and talked to some people about him. And like, if that guy is there, that's what you want in the middle of your offensive line, right? You want a guy with a nasty attitude, a true center, passing on Linderbaum, Creed Humphrey, like that stinks. And I kind of understand in the moment, I just don't want to see them go 3-for-3 in that department. I like Zach Frazier too, but that feels like a little bit of a reach at this point. I love the attitude Jackson Powers Johnson plays with. I love that he is, you know, we're not pounding a square peg into a round hole a la Kendrick Green. You are getting somebody who's going to solidify your center position for a long time. If that takes me to another route with offensive tackle, I'm okay with it. And maybe that means, you know, a little bit more of a project guy. Fine. I can rely on Dan Moore Jr. I would think for a year, you know, and again, if I have to audible, I feel like I'm still in a good situation there. You know, Amarius Mims is a name that's been batted around. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, Talese Fuaga, Oregon State. I mean, there are places they can go, but I'm not seeing it. Their pick, somebody other than Jackson Powers Johnson, who gives them that. If you're telling me that center is the most attractive option there, that's my guy. And well, we'll see if he winds up with them. It's still a long way to go. A lot of stuff can happen. Crazy stuff can happen before the draft. So, all right, pivoting, third topic, Pirates. It was not great. Y'all watch that. The offense is way too sleepy. A little worried, honestly, about David Bednar. I know this is not the prime takeaway from a three-game sweep, but we've seen him better. I believe 8 runs allowed over the past 4 outings, scored upon in 3 of 4. Just their bullpen. I remember writing and talking to so many people about how good we expected their bullpen to be thus far. And it's not been bad, but it hasn't been good either. You'd certainly like to see more. You know, Carmen Majenski being in AAA, Colin Holderman really hasn't added much because of the illness he was dealing with. Ryan Barucki's hurt. Chapman blows up recently. That's kind of been it. You know, they missed Dari Moretta to a certain extent. You're relying on Hunter Stratton a lot. Ryder Ryan, okay. Jose Hernandez just optioned to AAA. We'll talk about that in a minute. Luis Ortiz at times was good. 2 nights ago, obviously, was not in the second inning. So there's some places to go there. Again, not the number one talking point with the Pirates, just, you know, sort of top of brain, top of mind kind of thing. They're going to have a couple holes to fill when they get back to Pittsburgh, or they're back in Pittsburgh now, off day Thursday. But, you know, before the series against the Red Sox, they need a starting pitcher. I fully expect that to be Quinn Priester. It makes a lot of sense. He has pitched extremely well in AAA. 1-1, 3.95 ERA, 3 starts, 5 walks, 20 strikeouts. Oh, and by the way, he's also lined up to start on Friday. So that makes the most sense. People are going crazy a little bit about Paul Skenes. No. He's going to start more in AAA, as much as everybody wants to see him. And Joey Bart's the other one. Took a home run in batting practice off the helmet. They thought he was going to be good to go, and he was not. So, I mean, that's somewhat concerning. If he can't go, you're obviously going to have to put him on the concussion IL. Yasmani Grandal just started a rehab assignment with AAA Indianapolis, has been dealing with a plantar fasciitis in his foot. Probably not ready to go yet. Carter Benn's season? I don't know, but they would need a backup catcher behind Henry Davis. Certainly, and speaking of Davis, something I'll be charting this weekend or looking to turn this weekend, they need more out of a lot of guys offensively. For as strong as their start was, I think, 9-2, and I'm looking at O'Neill Cruz, 234, and OPS is 636. Sawinski, 172. Kutch, 209. Davis, 173. Not an OPS over 659 in the bunch. That was theoretically like first, a fourth, fifth, or sixth guy. Somebody who, and you know, that was Sawinski, and then, you know, Kutch was going to be a run producer. You expected a lot from Davis. There's some extenuating circumstances there, but I keep waiting for this to turn. I think Kutch has been better getting number 300 off of his chest, but yeah, just need a little bit more offense. That was one of my takeaways from this thing. Too many strikeouts, too much free swinging, too much looking, frankly. I mean, they just kind of seem caught in between. So big series against Boston when they get back home. That does it for me. Remember to like and subscribe. You can get more from this podcast and all of your other Post-Gazette podcasts and content throughout the week. Talk to you back here in the same space tomorrow.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.